Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue, where Potsy Ryan Poles has come out of hiding and addressed the future of his team publicly and the future of his quarterback. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy Ryan Poles just got done giving his state of the team update and probably more importantly, a state of the offseason and what's to come update. In general, what'd you hear?
Not a whole lot, Pat. This was as mundane and unnewsworthy, uneventful of a postseason press conference as we've had. There just weren't a lot, of specifics about what's going to happen. Everything you said, I thought was by the book, what you would expect. Mm-hmm. From Justin Fields is my quarterback until he's not. To I love the way this team fights, and everyone's telling me how great this team fights. And
right.
And a lot of all that stuff is great, but it's the theme for me anyway. The theme of 2023 is let's see it. Let's prove it. Now we got to see it on the field. The time for excuses and rationalizations and everything is over. And so I guess what I'm saying is a press conference like this is not going to fulfill me as far as somebody who watches the Bears. And Ryan Poles is not, I don't think he did a bad job or anything. He just told us what he could tell us, and it wasn't a whole lot. We didn't get a whole lot of answers.
I think this was the least dramatic end of season press conference I can remember in 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. There's one hot button issue, and the hot button issue was, what are you going to do with your draft pick as it relates to quarterback Justin Fields?
Let me interject here just to kind of put it in perspective. What I said is, I think Ryan Pace ignoring the question of what went wrong with Mitch Trubisky was far worse, as far as more disappointing than anything I heard today. So I was it wasn't disappointing. Right. It was what I expected, but there was just no big issue like that this year. So there have been worse postseason press conferences. But you're right. Fields was. I'm sorry. Go right ahead and finish your point on Fields, and I'll chime in.
He was asked whether Justin Fields was his quarterback in 2023, and he said yes. Well, he said yeah. If you want to be technical about it. And then the follow-up by some handsome reporter was, okay.
No, that was you, Pat.
was okay, well, you've got a draft pick. You could draft a quarterback if you wanted to. To be clear, is this going to be Justin? Let me read you his answers real quick, and then we'll talk about it. The one question, do you plan on Justin Fields being your quarterback or your starting quarterback in 2023? Ryan Poles. Yeah, we had good conversations. I'm excited for the direction he's going. As I mentioned before, he knows where he has to improve. I think he mentioned the other day, we're excited about his development and where he goes next. He showed the ability to be impactful with his legs. There's flashes with his arm. Now, if we can put that together, I think we have something really good. The follow-up was, he's your guy even with the number one draft pick. And he said, we're going to do the same thing we've always done. We're going to evaluate this draft class. And I would say this. I would have to be absolutely blown away to make that type of decision.
I think that answer typifies just how well Ryan Poles played this press conference. As we've discussed, I think he made it very clear that he's not looking for a quarterback, that Justin Fields is his quarterback and is almost certain to be their Bears quarterback in week one in 2023. But again, you never know what can happen. Take it to a ridiculous extreme. If the Chiefs said they want to trade Patrick Mahomes, he's going to make that deal. So that's blown away. I guess the curious thing is, what's blown away to him? We all have different standards of what blown away is. But I don't think I don't think it was an indicator that he is like dissatisfied with the trajectory of Justin Fields. And like we said before we did the podcast, I think the most important thing is I don't think Justin Fields has any doubt in his mind that the GM believes in him. I think he knows the GM believes in him, and I think that's the key part of that equation.
I think this is a good day for Justin Fields. Yeah. If he was looking to feel some sense of security, I think I think he felt it. I also think yesterday when we talked to him, didn't seem like he had any care in the world that they'd go get anybody else. So.
Right. And that's another thing, though, Pat, is like comparing situations. You know, right now I would say Justin Fields, I think, feels secure because in the back of his head, he's got to be thinking, hey, if the Bears don't want me, somebody will. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky couldn't really say that. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Sure. If Mitch Trubisky was feeling doubt in 2019 or 2020, there was question, where do I have a starting job in the NFL?
Sure.
At this point in time, Justin Fields really doesn't have to worry about that. There are teams that might be more capable of making him a better quarterback than the Bears. You know, sure. there's some.
All of them?
No. Well, we don't know.
If history is any lesson,
we don't know. We don't know. But what I'm saying is he doesn't have the same worry about that because he has a future in the NFL in 2023, no matter what. So he didn't really have to worry about if he is worried, he doesn't have to worry about the confidence of the team, the organization, or the GM has in him.
What is the benefit of him putting that caveat out there that he would absolutely have to be blown away? Is it? Is it in case somebody's got the world's greatest combine? Is it in case further evaluation of Fields gives them an answer that they weren't prepared to hear? Or is it because he wants to trade the draft pick to someone else?
Well, it's more the latter, but it's more, frankly, it's more than any GM is just never going to give you anything absolute.
Right.
And that would, to shut the door on it, it's almost like part of GM school. I mean, it's like they're trained. I mean, and it makes sense. You never really do, especially publicly, want to close the door on anything. So he finessed it, I thought, very well. And like we anticipated, which is leaving the door just a little bit open where if something happens, we can't say, hey, you said you wouldn't do anything. You can't say that. So it's at this point in time, it's a non-issue. And I was looking to see if he would had some doubt. I wrote this earlier in the week, and we've all talked about it, sometimes it's just not his cup of tea, or he sees that, hey, he can't finish. He will never be a great passer or whatever. And if Trevor Lawrence were available, maybe his tone might have been a little different. So certainly if Andrew Luck was available, his tone would be a little different. But they're not, and we don't know enough about the quarterbacks now to know that. So to me, it's like he just didn't want to give an absolute, which is what that standard operating procedure. And so it's not on my radar. As far as we'll watch out, what is Justin Fields' future with the Bears?
I think he was more supportive of him publicly than he absolutely had to be.
Yes.
While still leaving open a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and because of that, I think we can all presume that he's open for business on the trade front. Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, famously a former Bears executive, who people have thought would get the Bears GM job how many times? Three times? Something like that.
Yeah, two times ago, most notably.
After going through a fairly hellish season with the Colts, said essentially today that he would move heaven and earth to get a young quarterback. If you're Ryan Poles, do you just wait for people to line up to move heaven and earth and send heaven your way?
Well, it's funny. I was unable to get a question in at this press conference, but one of the questions I wanted to ask was, has anyone called yet? Is there any indication, any early indications how valuable this pick is going to be? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but my guess is that he's not going to have to make too many calls himself. I think the calls are going to start coming in. It's a really, it's interesting. I am not a draft nick, and never have been. But it just seems to me, for a year in which there's no surefire number one or surefire generational talent, Bryce Young might be the surefire one, the certain number one. But whatever, even without having that Peyton Manning type of guy, the number one pick has value because of just the importance of quarterbacks and how desperate teams are these days, much even more so than before, to get one. So the fact that it is one and not two, I think, is also important because that puts that opens up number one. Whereas before, when Houston was number one, you knew they were going to take whoever their quarterback is, presumably Bryce Young. So there's value. That's my point. There's value. This is going to be this won't be a record haul, but this will be a significant haul. I'm almost certain with the teams that need a quarterback, and there is opportunity if he plays it right for him to do what he needs to do. Is trade that pick and still stay in the top five.
The direct quote from Chris Ballard. He was asked whether he'd give up heaven and earth if there was a quarterback he liked at the top of the draft. And his response was, yes, I'd do whatever it takes. Potsy, whatever it takes sounds like what?
We're open for business.
What? You know? No, tangible draft pick numbers.
Well, I don't know what that means to him because I'm not familiar with his thinking. But you got to think it's going to be obviously the number four pick,
mm-hmm.
An additional pick. The Bears would be looking for their second round pick, which would be 36.
Yep.
That would be to make up for the pick they lost with Claypool, and then a 2024 number one. And that is a pick that can do one of two things. It can either, for a rebuilding team like the Colts, turn into another top five pick, mm-hmm. that they can get a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
You know, that would be a dream scenario at this point in time. Or they could do what teams like, I think the Bills did it, and I can't remember, maybe it was the Dolphins, where they have had a pick like at 16, 17, and moved and use that with the other picks to move up into the top 5 or 10 to get another potentially transformational player. So that's the scenario, the best case scenario. Not best case. Some people think they can get more than that.
Well, it's a pretty good scenario, too, because...
But it's logical. I think it's logical.
I think I think it's about right. I don't think it's some pie-in-the-sky thing.
Yeah.
The other deal, too, is if they make that move, and then if Justin Fields isn't what they had hoped, they could use those extra picks to go get a quarterback next year, if they wanted to. It gives them a little bit of a fail-safe, or a little bit of a safety net, I should say, if this thing all goes to pot in the next year. And next year's quarterbacks class is better than this year's quarterbacks class, as of now, according to the people who know this thing. So, I mean, that's really tempting to me.
It's always interesting how the value of these quarterbacks goes up after they're done playing. and I'm not sure how real that is. I know a lot of it is perception. And so I think what I'm saying is I think it'll be interesting to see how the draft process plays out with these two or three quarterbacks, Stroud, Young, and... Levis,
Kentucky,
is one of those guys who can be like in the top 10 now, top 5 in January, in February, and maybe even top 2. You know, you never know how these guys, as they evaluate these players, these guys, even after they're done playing, move around. So, it will be real interesting to see how that, because that has without a surefire generational talent. Or even a perceived generational talent, like I think Trevor Lawrence kind of was seen as. It's hard to say exactly what the market will be. So,
but if the Bears can live in the top four, the odds of them getting Will Anderson or Javon Carter are pretty good. Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Good. Oh, absolutely. That's what makes that such a good scenario. Is like you don't. With like the number three pick, which at one point they had for a long time, it was looking like if they wanted to do anything, get one player, it would have to be they can get Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. Now they can drop, and they would be obviously the team that goes to one instead of the Bears is going to want a quarterback. Houston's going to want a quarterback. You know that the players now. Who knows? A year from now, Will Anderson and Jalen Carter can be two of the biggest first round busts ever. We have no idea how that's going to work out. But it's all perception of what it is now. That's what matters most. And you're going to get your choice of one of those two players. I think they would prefer the three technique just because of the way they are so clear about how important it is that position is.
Yep.
And he is certainly right there with, if not ahead of Anderson, Jalen Carter. I'm talking about has some issues, right? There's some personal. Is there?
There's some questions about his
character. Work. Character issues. I guess you got to work that. But anyway, the point is to your question or statement.
I think there's questions about his football character. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the key to getting number one means you can you can drop down to as high as four, and still get one of the two guys you really wanted to get, even if you just had only your own pick, and get a second round pick and a pick for. A first rounder for next year. So that's the beauty of it, and it will be so interesting to see how it plays out. I thought Poles' response, which wasn't really definitive about having the first round pick, he wasn't celebrating it. Not only was he not celebrating it, he almost was a little chagrined to have it.
Sounded embarrassed.
I thought that's another question I think would have been interesting, and I get the chance to ask it, was like, would four, the Bears were one play away from winning four more games.
Right.
Washington, Miami, Detroit, and Atlanta.
Right.
You move one play in those four games, they are 7-10 and picking 13th.
Sure.
Would he rather have the knowledge that he's won four more games and come through in crunch time four more times, or the number one pick.
Sure. Well, and the other thing, too, is even if they win two more of those games, maybe Jalen Johnson doesn't get shut down with a couple weeks left. Maybe Justin Fields plays the last game. Maybe that begets more them trying harder. I don't question the effort of the people on the field. Right. But as the season,
the Bears putting a team together.
As the season wound down, a lot of guys weren't playing. That might have been able to.
So it was interesting to see just his response to that, the way he kind of couldn't really figure out how he wanted to feel about it. But we know he wanted to win. I think it was in Atlanta when we heard, that they sit behind us, the Bears personnel. And he slammed when they had I think it was an interception that sealed the deal. I think it was Atlanta. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Poles, you could hear him pound his fist on the desk where he was. And we, you knew that. I could just feel it, that it meant something to him. And at that point, that was actually not a bad result if you were looking for the first round pick. They were close. They came back, I think. I think that was the Cordarrelle Patterson. But whatever. If you were looking for the Bears to not be embarrassed and still not win, it was a good result. But for him, you could tell he wanted. I guess my point is, he had no interest in playing for the first round pick until the last week, apparently. But so you know it meant something to him. But it still would be interesting to know, how valuable is the number one pick with regard to, like I said, Fields and the Bears offense finishing, or the defense finishing at the end four more times. Does that mean you're that much further ahead? Mm-hmm. Personally, I think they're better off the way they are. I think the first round pick, I think with the bounty they can get from this, I think they're better off. But there's plenty of room for disagreement.
I would have been more disturbed if he wouldn't have been upset after a loss. I think that somebody who grew up...
Well, just that he showed it so much. It was evident. I wasn't saying he was cheering. Yeah. That would have been kind of a bad
but
look.
Yeah, all of these guys are hardwired their whole life to try to win at all costs. Yeah. There's the benefits of losing exist in one place, which is in professional football. In college, if you're bad, that doesn't mean you get better players. In high school, if you're bad, that doesn't mean you get better players. In the NFL, it does. And when we talk about Ryan Poles maybe not acting thrilled about it, I'm sure intellectually he knows that it's a really good thing. Yes. I also know that he spent his whole life thinking winning equals good, losing equals bad, and that he lost better than anybody else in football did. I want to give you a number here, Potsy. Ryan Poles used the word flexibility 7 times in his press conference.
How do you know that?
I know how to do a word search, but you've covered enough of these. Flexibility is code for trading a draft pick, isn't it?
You're right, Pat.
I mean, he brought it up. I mean, how much can you fix is the first question he took? How much can you fix this offseason? I don't know that I can answer that specifically, but I can tell you we have flexibility. That is a If you want to read between the lines, to me, that is, we can fix a lot more stuff if we trade this pick. We have flexibility where if there's opportunities, where if we can turn that into a lot of players that come in and help us, we can do that. He is offering. The first question he answers, he is offering into the world, hey, man, make us an offer for that pick.
It's so obvious that that's their best move. That's not even like an option. I'll be honest. There's nobody in this draft the Bears can take who would be, at this point, Aaron Donald was the 12th or 14th pick or whatever he was and should have been the first, right? I can't remember exactly. But anyway, we know that now. Tom Brady, same thing. As it stands right now, there's nobody in this draft that he can take who would be better than the options he's very likely to have, as we've talked about with that. So to me, that's really, it's obvious. It's not even like some teams might need a quarterback and they say, well, we can get this guy or we can get, let's say the Bears had the one pick in 2017. Well, we can get Trubisky. We really want him. Or we can kind of wait for, trade the pick and trade down and maybe we can get this Mahomes or Watson guy, whatever, and see what happens. So they're not in that scenario. So I guess what I'm saying is I think he's stating the obvious, don't you think? I mean the trade. Would you be surprised if he did not trade it?
I would bet on them trading.
Yes, I think it's like 95%. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, which is why and then when you hear him talk about I need to be blown away, boy. He would have to be blown away to pass up the opportunity to trade the pick, too. Forget the individual evaluation of Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, just to, you know, if somebody sat there and said, here's somebody who, even if he's an upgrade on the position, in the most important position in sports, that's important.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the Holy Grail. But it would have to be a significant upgrade to be worth, you know, what are those three picks you said? Number four, a second rounder, and a one next year?
4, 36, and a one next year. You know, number one next year.
Yeah. Give me that 100 days out of 100, I think.
What would the Colts give that 100 days out of 100?
That's a good question.
That's the key. That's the key. Usually it's like, well, you're asking for way too much. You know, we're not going to, you know. But I just think that's, I think it's, I presented that to a few people, and they've all said that's fairly logical.
Also, Colts do a lot of silly things. So, especially lately.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also, I mean, yeah. just from a, just as long as, this is a hypothetical, to be clear, but is there any team in the world you would rather bet on being a trailer fire next year than the Colts? I mean, depending on who
we'll get to see who their coach is.
Yeah, if they bring Jeff Saturday back, boy, I would love to have stock in a high Colts draft pick.
Right, does, especially, I mean, they could actually, they could get their number one guy, and just like Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville in the first year, make progress. And still have the number, and still their pick still could be number one next year, which in theory, trade theory would be the Bears. So that's you know, you talk about all the things Bears fans salivate over, as far as things that could happen. This is one of the most logical, legitimate things that you could, that scenario, and who knows how it would turn out. Like I've said a few times now, you know, we don't know. You don't know. You could, you know, the Bears have been infatuated with a lot of players who, you know, who didn't work out or whatever. But we don't know that now. So right now, I guess it's just interesting that this is one of those dream scenario type things with this draft pick that I think is much more legit than, you know, normally they're hoping for, you know, some crazy trade or some, right. you know, something that's just way, you know, way off, you know, way out. And this is not. So it's going to make it a very interesting offseason for the Bears.
It absolutely will. Ryan Pohl say anything else interesting to you about current players? To me, nothing really jumped out. He said they wanted David Montgomery back. Yeah. That was a little overt, I thought. You know, he talked about Darnell Mooney. Did not really give much of an update on his ankle, but said he loves Mooney now more than he did when he got here.
Yeah,
He preys on Cole Kmet. I think Cole Kmet's a no-brainer contract extension this offseason.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that should happen.
But beyond that, you know, God bless the Bears roster. There wasn't a whole lot to talk about otherwise.
Yeah, not a lot of definitive talk about the offensive line as far as changes needed. And I think one of the things that that was asked about but didn't quite wasn't really answered was this idea of being fooled by the fact that you had the number one rushing team in the NFL, and that fooling you or making you giving you the impression that your offensive line is good.
Right.
I think if I had to weigh it, and I had the worst pass protection team in the NFL and the best running team, that would be more of a negative to my offensive line than a positive. And he didn't make it clear that he saw it that way. Maybe he just didn't want to insult anybody publicly or whatever. But he didn't really answer that. What's he going to do with the offensive line? Is Braxton Jones, another question would have been nice, is Braxton Jones set at left tackle? Does he have right tackle potential? You know, just in general. Tevin Jenkins, good, but is he durable enough?
Right.
So the offensive line, I think, was one area where it just really, I think, where we needed, could have gotten better answers than we got. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and we may not get.
So we don't know. We'll just wait to see what he does. I mean.
Right. Right. I was just going to say we may not know till second, third week of March when free agency hits full swing.
Yeah.
But you can rest assured, I think they're going to invest in that line somehow. We'll just have to see how they do it. Potsy, there will be plenty of time between now and the start of free agency and then the start of the draft for us to break down all the options that the Bears have. We will.
For you to break down, Pat, I am taking time off.
I'll sit here and talk to myself, Potsy. But until then, you can follow Mark and Jason Leisure, myself, on Twitter.
Cool.
You can check us out on the Sun-Times in print or on the website. And as always, please like, rate, and review the podcast. He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.